6:30, 7, I rolled out of bed, and then I'm like, man, I have all this information I got to put down, right? So I just thought it was really cool just being able to share that and kind of just really feel confident about what I'm going to be saying. Let's do a little flashback. Last week, Lee was, talking about the broken family and his experiences, you know, with an absent father. And it blows me away because when you see Lee parent, it's not evident that his dad wasn't there. I'm blown away with how he, you know, how he serves, how he loves, how he guides his family. And he said something. He was talking about how this idea of going home for the holidays, and I'm going to be talking about close family today, and you're going to hear a lot of stuff from me, and you're going to be like, wow, that doesn't sound like he really appreciates close family, but I'll share a little bit of my history, a little bit of my story. But Lee said something that made me laugh. He said he went home and celebrated all these things, I'm going to try to get through this, the Happy Merry Birthday Black of Friday Christmas Reunion Snowtrap.com show, right? He was like, he went home and did all these things, got trapped in the snow, had a birthday, did Black Friday, did whoop-de-woo, all this stuff. And I'm like, man, the idea of the holidays don't sit well with me, but going home and having to do all that would drive me nuts. I don't know about you guys. Oh, man. I was in Brighton a couple of weeks ago speaking, and, you know, we do the hanging of the greens. That's kind of traditional Church of God thing. That's where we come in, and we decorate, and I called it the decking of the halls or something like that. And I just remember that when I was there, I don't know, I may have just blacked out and said something from the pulpit, but I was like, you know what, I really don't like holidays. And he apologized later as he got up and he closed the service. He's like, you know, sorry, Gabe doesn't like it. And you know, that idea of not liking holidays has really caused some tension in my home with my wife, who grew up a little bit different, had a different experience than me. And like I said, here I am, I'm supposed to be talking about the close family, and I didn't grow up with a close family. I mean, I love my family, I'm not saying I don't love them, but like, we didn't grow up close. I looked, kind of searched my heart and looked in the background, you know, we didn't have a lot of blood relatives around us, so there was a lot of extended family. It was a lot of people that we had essentially adopted and just called family. I mean, I grew up calling people aunts, uncles, cousins, and brothers for so long, I don't even remember if they're blood or not, because we just didn't have a big family. Holidays were a huge letdown, and you're like, wow, this guy's like a killjoy right now, man, super bummer, right? Holidays were a huge letdown. We were poor. We weren't united. There was nothing really to get excited about, and I didn't have the experiences growing up that, you know, that my wife had, that they honored time together and they valued the tiniest of gestures. And I was speechless. In the beginning, I was just like, wow, man, I was humbled almost to the point of tears of just how well they loved on one another and how much they wanted to spend time together. And in that moment of awe, you know, sadly, you know, in our humanity and our brokenness, it started to bother me. I started to get jealous. I started to get resentful because here I am getting to enjoy something that my family couldn't facilitate or couldn't do. And it made me feel like I missed out on so much. So we got a picture of me that was kind of flashed up where a nice little side view. I'm going to switch over and I'm going to tell you a story about me, because if we're family and you're going to get to know me, you're going to get to know how messed up I am. So this is a picture of me this past Monday. And this is my normal face, if you see me. I'm just kind of like, you know, they call it resting thug face. You can't ever tell what's going on in my life. But this is me. This is me after we left a beautiful 35-degree day in Denver. Sun was out. The snow was finally melting on our driveway. You know, we decide to go, me, Kim, our puppies, and our roommate, Kayla. We all pack in my truck. And we start to drive up, and I'm like, man, this is a beautiful drive, and we're going to go cut a Christmas tree, okay? We're going to cut a Christmas tree. We turn onto Highway 40, and there is a blanket of hellish thick air. And I'm just saying, to give you an idea, I'm looking back over my shoulder, and it's like sunshine, and then not sunshine. And we're driving, and there's snowflakes that are flurrying around, and there's ice, and people are driving crazy, and I'm just like, you know what, man? I'm supposed to be heading up to cut down my first Christmas tree in my entire life of 43 years with my wife, with a very good friend who's staying with us, and I'm not having a good time. I'm ruining it. I'm not gonna lie. I'm cussing at the people that are driving by. Like, you don't do it either. Don't judge me. I'm yelling at my wife. There's one person in there that's not smiling. So they're the one who doesn't cuss, okay, when they drive. Amen to you. But I was salty, as my buddy likes to say. I was an old sourpuss. I'm just like, man, I freaking come up here anyways. I didn't even know I were coming. Could have bought a tree, you know. And then we get up there, and, you know, Kayla falls down, and we're laughing like, oh, that's funny until it happens to you, right? And we got our dogs. You can see Shawnee and Dose, and you can see how deep the snow is, man. There is snow coming down, and you know me. I'm a California boy. What do I have on? A hoodie. And I'm just like, you got to be kidding me. The dogs are running everywhere. Kayla's on the ground. I step into snow and sink. And my worst nightmare of breaking my ankle and freezing to death is like a reality around the corner. Okay, yeah, you want to talk about, I'm a big guy, man. These are two women and dogs. They're not going to drag me out of the snow. They're either going to eat me or cut me open and, like Star Wars, right? Now I'm loose. Now I'm ready to go. So here's my moment. Let's show them the tree, please. Here's my sad moment. I'm halfway between my wife and the tree. The dogs are running everywhere. Kayla's behind me. I have a bag of tools. I have an axe. And I'm ready to go over there and chop this tree down for my family. And I sink in. And I'm afraid. I'm not moving any farther. So I start yelling at her, and the whole mountain's like, well, I'm not going over there because I'm going to die, die, die. I'm like, you know what, man, it's all right. I got to get to the point. So I say, Kayla, come and get the stuff, and I'll hold the dogs, and you go over there, and my wife is out there hanging probably off a cliff that we can't recognize because of all the snow, and she takes the sawzall and takes it off, right? So what do I do as a man, right? I start delegating, right? Kayla, take the tools. Baby, take the dogs. And to save face, I drag this tree back like I'm the conqueror, like I'm the man and the provider. That's a sad moment for me. I'm embarrassed. I was complaining. I was cold. I was not thinking of the impact this is having on my wife or our roommate. And honestly, I share this story because if we ever are going to be close family, you need to know where I mess up. You guys need to know where my joy is, where my failure is, where my sin, where my heart is. We need to be open with each other like this. Man, hearing you guys laugh these last couple of minutes at me both hurt and overjoyed my heart. I put it like this. I said, I share this story because, again, if we are ever to be close family, you need to know my failures, my fears, my cowardice, my sin, my loves. I share this because you are supposed to be my closest family. We're going to be continuing in the book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 39 through 56. And I get excited and start reading fast, so bear with me if I start stuttering, you know. So we'll be in Luke, chapter 1, verses 39 through 36. And it's Mary's visit to Elizabeth and Mary's praise. And the word says, in those days, Mary set out and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judah, where she entered Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped inside of her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women, and your child will be blessed. How could this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to visit me? For you see, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leapt inside of me, for joy inside of me. Blessed is she who has believed in the Lord, that the Lord would fulfill what he has spoken to her. And Mary said, my soul praises the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, because he has looked with favor upon the humble condition of his servant. Surely, from now on, all generations will call me blessed, because the Mighty One has done great things for me, and his name is holy. His mercy is from generation to generation on those who fear him. He has done a mighty deed with his arm. He has scattered the proud because of the thoughts of their hearts. He has toppled the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has satisfied the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering his mercy to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he spoke to our ancestors. And Mary stayed with her for about 3 months, and then she returned home. You know, I like how when Pastor Lee was talking last week, he mentioned the absence of Joseph. So you don't think about that. I mean, that blew me away. If I had one takeaway from there, was like, where was Joseph? Where's Joseph when all this was happening? We can assume that he was beside her. We can assume that he was walking with her, but he's not mentioned. And so that really just made me look at it different, being a man who's grown up without a dad most of his life. In the previous text that Lee was preaching on, we see these two miraculous pregnancies, one of a virgin and one of an older woman who shouldn't have been able to have it. And they happen to be in the same family, and they happen to come together, and they're happening to celebrate. And I love it. It's like Mary cannot wait to see her family. It's something that many of us, well, some of us may not experience. We may not have the excitement of going home, partially because people might not be there anymore. Or on the other hand, maybe we just don't want to see them. We don't want to deal with them. We don't want to hear what they have to say. We don't want to love on them because it's going to cost us too much. But I looked at it like this. It was like the youthful excitement of Mary took over, and she took off to celebrate the news of what was going on in her life. And when she walked in, her family member was so excited, so blown away by the fact of what she had been going through, that she was going to come over and spend time with her. And Mary, you could tell that Mary was close with Elizabeth. And I put this down as like, when I'm close with somebody, you know, like my friends over here, when my buddy calls, the very first thing that we say to each other, folks, what's happening? My folks, my people. And or when I see other people, there's a genuine exciting, like an excitement, a greetment. I love when I see Lee, he lights up and he hugs me. I love when I see Shane and other people in the church. And this is what was going on in this context. This is what was happening. And we see this greeting, and we have to acknowledge what a blessing they are to one another. I thought about it this morning. It was like, how many of us got out of bed in excitement this morning? A hand went up, but there was a couple. Yeah, you have no idea what I went through. Seriously, like, how many of us got out of bed this morning with excitement to greet one another, to greet our close family? A desire to see what the day has for us instead of dreading what the day has for us. A desire, a will to do everything we can to fulfill this day that we are privileged to do because of our health, because of whatever God has given us. How many of us just rolled out of bed today grumpy? One person not smiling. Okay. No, seriously, man. How many of us awoke grumpy, weighed down, stressed, unable to see what could be because you just couldn't wait to get today done with? Instead of looking forward to the possibilities of who you're going to connect with and who you're going to share life with, what joy, what sadness, what pain, what is God going to do for you in this day where you have an opportunity to grow? How many of us need a reason to get excited again? How many of us are just so weighed down with everything that God does not want us to have on us that we need a reason to get excited again? Where is the reason from which your joy comes from? And I get it, things are going on in your life, and I get it that things are hard. But isn't Jesus greater than any of that you're going through right now? And you can say, hey, brother, you can say that, but you don't know what I'm going through. Well, and then I guess God isn't big enough for you. And if God isn't big enough for you, you know where the problem lies in? It doesn't lie in you. It lies in the fact that one of us who has that joy is not walking alongside of you, bathing you in that joy, grabbing you in that hope, reminding you that while you're beaten and downtrodden, man, that somebody died for you, but more so that he lived for you. How many of us need closer family? How many of us need better community here? Yeah, he didn't show up for that this morning. The next portion of scripture, or the next bit of verses, Mary begins to express her gratitude for and of God. Don't turn there yet. I'm just finishing up the rest of Luke. Here's the key, and I want you to, if you don't remember anything I say today, here's the key I want you to remember, is that you cannot be thankful for who God is or what God is doing if you don't know him. There is no reason for you to be thankful for who God is or what he's doing if you don't know him. There's too many people inside these walls across the country, across the world, that know God. They don't know him. And I know that sounds a little cliche, but that's the church today. I run into people that tell me they're a Christian, and all they do is they know God. Know God. No. 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 Instead of saying, I know God. Mary speaks of the greatness of God, her thanksgiving of him and to him, her recognition of his mercy, his involvement in her life, the mightiness of God. She stands in front of God with her words and is declaring back to him who he is. This is somebody who knows God. This is somebody you can say, I know where your joy comes from because you don't know him. Remember the no, the N-O. She's praising his involvement. She's praising because she's blessed. See, here's the thing, is that Mary was just an ordinary person that was asked to do the extraordinary. An ordinary person that was asked to step up to the plate. She was pivotal in bringing the one person into this universe that could establish a close family within a broken world. And that's Jesus. Will you put up Acts chapter 2, please? Now, I'm not going to preach another sermon, and if you know me, I'm normally long-winded, but I think this is really pivotal to what's being said here and how we need to come together. And I'm going to read this portion of Scripture, which I can remember the first time I read it. I was 30 years old. I was sitting in a New Testament Bible class in California, and I read this, and I said, why are the churches that I've been to not doing this? Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47, and the subtitle, which sometimes I don't like, actually like this time, says a generous and growing church. So to me, what it says, what this scripture says right here, in a sense, if we ever want to be a generous and growing church, we need to do these things. And the word says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, or to the word of God, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. And now all the believers were together, and they held all things in common. They sold their possessions and their property and distributed all the proceeds to all as they had need. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple, and they broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying favor of all the people. And every day the Lord added to their numbers those that were being saved. You know, key thought real quick before I move on with this scripture is that church is not something that you go to. It's a family that you belong to. And just like families, we disagree in here. And just like families, we're not always going to get along. And just like families, we're not always going to see eye to eye. But that's where the strain of the church is right now, is on those buts. Instead of the fact that we have everything in common despite of our differences. Do you understand that? What is the everything that we have in common? Jesus. Thank you. Elizabeth wasn't just Mary's cousin, her close family. She was her church. They were both part of miraculous pregnancies. They knew God. They knew they were being used in a special way in humanity's redemption story. You know, I met a man Friday night at Kim's Christmas party, and, you know, I usually get drugged into stuff because it's her Christmas party, and so I'm the MC, and I'm doing all the games, and I end up sitting down, and of course, you know, this guy, we start small talk, and he says, so what's your story? What do you do? I said, well, I kind of do a lot of things. I never start out with, hey, I'm a pastor, I'm a preacher, I'm a Christian. I always let that come out through my life. I said, well, I do this, I do a little bit of that, I do this, you know. And he's like, but no, but what do you do? What's your passion? I said, I'm a pastor. And this guy said, he goes, I don't go to church anymore. And he had a scowl on his face like he'd been hurt, like he'd been wounded. But he said something that blew me away. He said, I didn't leave my faith, I just left the church. That is not a truth. I'm sorry. That is not a truth. He may still have faith in God, but this is where we're supposed to be. This is where we're supposed to be communing. This is where we're supposed to be seeing wonders and signs. I'm trying not to get ahead of myself because I'm going to preach right now. Like I said earlier, man, my thoughts have been on this message, and I've been asking people, I've been talking with people, I've been texting people and saying, hey, man, this is what I'm going to say on Sunday morning. But let me tell you something, is the people I've been talking to are not Christians. Because normally when I talk to Christians about what I'm going to say, all I get is a nod. I don't get excitement. I don't get encouragement, man. I don't get, because we don't want our toes to be stepped on. And I'm talking to these people that are non-believers, and they're cheering me on. They're like, go for it. That's exactly what's wrong with the church. That's exactly why I don't want to go, because why am I going to go to a place that says that they're a close family when I walk in, there's so much dysfunction, I could just stay at home. That's a family. We need to focus more on the everything that we have in common and not the differences. Amen. You know, we know him. And in that moment, my ability to absorb what this man Brian was saying, I'm hoping that I was showing him. I'm hoping that one day that I'll have a chance to celebrate with him because he's going to come back. But I'm not going to push that. You know, I put something on Facebook the other night right after meeting him, and it really hit me. And it's funny, it's like I get more likes, and I'm not one of those endorphin kind of guys that you got to do the likes and it totally changes my life, right? But I get more likes on food that I post than on things that I say. And those of you that follow me know. But I put, long before I've ever celebrated with somebody, I've been broken with them. See, we want the celebration, but we don't want the brokenness. We want to be able to celebrate what's going on in somebody's life, but we don't want to do the work alongside of them for years, months, maybe forever, with them totally rejecting us. I put it like this, why is it easier for me to be honest, real, and broken with people that don't hold the same beliefs as me than it is to come here and be open and broken and honest and real? Why do I feel like I need to hide? And I'm using myself as an example. Why do I feel like I need to hide from some of you? And we could talk about that later, man. Like, I'm not blasting anybody. I'm not trying to put anybody down. But why do I feel that? When I walk in, I should feel nothing but love. You should feel nothing but love. We should feel nothing but being embraced and being accepted for who we are, where we are. But we should also be able to be willing to be called out when we're not doing what we're supposed to do, because that's what close families do. That's what close families do. Instead of getting mad and harboring hatred towards somebody because you disagree with them, why is it that we gather every week and we say the same things over and over again, yet we rarely see results? Where are our hearts at? Where are our minds at? What are our hands devoted to? You know, next steps for me in this, if I was trying to encourage somebody to go forward and do something with what's being said and what's being taught here, is that we just need to respond. We need to stop sitting where we're at. And yeah, I'm on my soapbox right now. It's kind of my time. That wasn't funny to anybody. Awesome. Great. We need to just respond, and I'm going to get right back to business, okay? I was trying to give you a little lull, but we need to get right back to business. We need to respond. We are not living in what God has allotted for us. There are too many defeated and depleted and deflated Christians that are not living in the power of what God has given them, that are not walking out their calling or functioning in why they were created. You want to know why life is so hard sometimes? It's because maybe you're not doing what God created you to do, like sticking a round peg in a square hole. And we ask, well, how do we do that? How do we live in what God's allotted us? How do we know him and not know him? Well, it's telling us right here, we need to read the word. We need to apply it to our life and then rinse and repeat. I threw that in as a joke and one of you got it, okay. No, seriously, we need to read the word. When's the last time you read the word and you got excited? When was the last time you read the word and your heart started skipping and you just were like, man, I can't believe God is saying this to me. I can't believe God loves me this much. I can't believe he's asking me and trusting me to do this. Maybe some of you have already checked out. When are we going to apply it to our life? When are we going to do the hard work and do the rinse and repeat and move on and go forward? This is what I want to do today. I hope, you know, more. I hope I didn't anger anybody. I hope you're not fed up with me. I hope that you're really hearing where my heart is in this. And if you pull me aside any day out of the week, I'll say the same thing in front of you that I'm saying here right now. Is that I love you and I want you to experience what it's like to walk with God in a way that's radical. To walk with God in a way where you get to see people's lives change. To walk with God and be able to have a conversation with somebody, and during that conversation, you have the privilege of being able to laugh and cry with them. You have the privilege to be able to hope and encourage, to be broken, to see healing. So today, what I want to do is during our response time, we have this thing where we do altar, and we do self-guided communion, and we do giving at these stations that are around. And I want to say something real quick before my prayer is going to be a challenge. See, the altar is something where we get to praise and pray. This is where we get to come forward and we get to praise and we get to pray. Self-guided communion is a privilege. It's something that we're privileged to be able to do. And giving is something we get to do with purpose. It's not just haphazard. It's not just something we throw in the box. So I'm going to ask the team to come up. And I don't know what you have planned. I would say just do whatever's on your heart. And I'm going to ask everybody just to close your eyes. Just to shut out any distractions. And I really feel powerful about this right now. I really feel that God wants to do something, so I'm gonna pray for you in a way that's a little bit different. I'm gonna say, are you devoted to the apostles' teaching? Are you in your word? Are you devoted to fellowship or gathering? Are you devoted to coming to this place? Or are you more discouraged or even disgusted when you pull up in the morning? Are you devoted to the breaking of bread, which is an experience we get to have, reliving Christ's sacrifice? Are we devoted to prayer? I'm going to ask you, who's on your heart this morning? Everybody's got somebody. I could spend another hour talking about who's on my heart and who I want to see changed. But I struggle to get out of my seat. I struggle to come forward. I would rather sit there and believe that God can't do something with it than to move in a direction where God will show you that he's going to do something for you. When was the last time that you were filled with awe? When's the last time you were surprised by what God is doing? And if you say it's been a long time, okay, there's maybe you haven't been looking. Maybe you haven't been seeking. Maybe you haven't been wondering enough. Who needs a miracle today? And I'm not saying I'm the one that's going to perform, but who wants something so bad right now? And God is the only one that can do it. Why aren't you asking for it? Why aren't you moving forward, pursuing God for it? What do we really have in common? What do we really have in common? If it's everything and everything is Jesus, then can we start living like it? Can we start functioning like it? Can we start moving forward in that? This is not just for show. This is not just for spectacle. It's because my heart is breaking at the fact that we're living in things that we don't have to hold on to anymore. When was the last time you used what you have to change somebody's life in this room? When was the last time you used something that you have to change somebody's life in this room? Not to change the country, not to change the nation, not to change the world, but to change somebody that sat next to you for years, or maybe somebody you just met. How hard was it for you to come in this morning? How hard was it for you to come in this morning? To potentially be let down again, potentially be angered, potentially be annoyed, or God forbid, be challenged to do something different with your life? Was it out of duty or obligation? Or was it out of anticipation of seeing somebody you love? Was it out of anticipation to see someone you care for, or someone you're concerned for? Was it because you wanted to stand with your family and community? I want to tell you that God wants to do something big, not just today. He wanted to do something big yesterday, and we may have missed it. God wants to do something big in your life every single day. And if you don't believe that, then I want to go sit next to you and tell you why you should believe that. And if you do believe that, you should go across the way and grab somebody else. And if you have an awe, if you have a joy, if you have a love, if you have something and you see somebody struggling, instead of saying, there they go again, why don't we prove to the world, as the scripture says, why don't we prove to the world and show that we have God's favor? And in that, awestruck the world, awestruck the people of this neighborhood, where they're drawn to hear because of what God's doing, not because of what we're doing. Where they can't stand still because they're wondering what God's gonna do next with a bunch of crazy people that decided to come to this building on Sunday morning. To get excited, and I'm hoping that you'll take this opportunity to come before God, to come before each other, to be a church and stand so that we can change what's happening in here first before we move forward. God, thank you for this day. God, thank you for your heart. Thank you for your love. Thank you.
Have you ever thought to yourself, there has to be more than this? Why does it seem like life has a way of making us feel less? Not just feel like less, but feel less, as in numb, leaving us to wonder if this is it. Is this all that life has for us? We spend every day just trying to make it from one item on our calendar to the next, from one email to the next, from one soul-crushing moment to the next. Was this God's plan? Is there more to life than this? What if God really does have more for us? More love, more joy, more peace, more purpose, more hope. What if God is the God of more? And what if the life we've been searching for is really found as we surrender our lives more and more to Jesus? Because Jesus is offering us a way to live life that is more than we've ever even dreamed of. We are Altitude Church. We are here to help you become more like Jesus. So, what are you becoming?